He still has always been in control. He's never been when he wasn't in control. Our God. Notice verse 32. Here, just the text. God is speaking through Daniel here to Nebuchadnezzar. And it says, they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee. And here's the phrase. Until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth to whomsoever he will. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying one day Nebuchadnezzar, who had built a great kingdom, great empire, stepped out of his and looked out over his land, and he got puffed up with pride. And God awoken him to the sense of who's in control. And I believe God, America needs to know who's in control. God, you and I need to understand that man is not in control, but God is. God's in control. Now, let me go on. Look with me at verse 1 of chapter 4. Verse 1 through 3 of chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar the king, unto all the people, nations, and language that dwelleth in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I thought it good to show the sign and wonders that the high God has wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty is his mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and the dominion is from generation to generation. He's a man now that speaks from experience. He's a man that's been woken to the power and sovereignty of God. That's what he's talking about. He's talking about what has happened to him, what he learned about God. And I believe God's people today, you and I today, it's praying time. Look at verse 34 with me in that same text, chapter 4, verse 34. Still Nebuchadnezzar here. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. And so I think you know the story here where God caused Nebuchadnezzar to grow paws like an animal and hair like an animal. And he went out and grazed in the field. Because God was showing him that, hey, I am the Most High God, and I rule in the affairs of this earth, in the affairs of man. And I believe America needs to understand that today. The same America that goes out on the Lord's Day and go fishing. The same America today that goes out on the Lord's Day and go out to the ball games. The same America today that can get excited about secular things and not excited about holy things. They need to understand that there's a God at work.
Amen.
One day God's going to bring judgment upon this nation. No matter who's in charge of it, amen. Whether they're right or they're left on charge or the right are in charge. But what about God's people? It's praying time. The object, maybe the great object of the church is not politics. The great object of the church is winning souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the great object. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. But I've seen some things and heard some things and saw some things the last couple of months and this year that bothers me. I can spend my time politicking, going door to door, but I can't take God's same message to a lost and dying world when I say that I'm a Christian. Oh, that's something there for them to think about, amen. I can go out and do these, but I can't go out and tell others about one that died for our sin. One who's coming back someday, amen, for judgment. But I can get so wrapped up and spend hours, amen. I've had so many phone calls at my house lately. I just say click. Yeah. Recordings and people calling. And I said, those same people won't call for the work of the ministry. It's praying time. It's praying time. We need to look to God, amen. I'm trying to say to us this morning, man, I find in this great passage of Scripture, the Word of God, that God is in control. And we spend all of our time trying to put this in an office and that in an office. We're divided. A nation divided. That's what we are. Friend, I'm telling you, I don't know about you, but this world is not my home.
Amen.
That's right. It's not my home, amen. I'm just a passing through. We're just pilgrims. That's all we are. As Christians, we're pilgrims down here. Passing through. So many are pent down to this old world. All their wealth is in this world. Laying nothing up in heaven, amen. No eternal things up in heaven. All is right here. And when they gone, they gone. And for somebody else to spend it. I've got to go on. I got to get my outline too, amen. I better go on. Go back to chapter 9. Let's get me out of my outline. I got to at least give you that, amen, my points. Notice verse 3 to 4 of this chapter here. In chapter 9, we find, first of all, Daniel prayed unto his God. Here lately, man, I've been fascinated with my God. I have, bro. There's so many gods today, you don't know which one you're calling on. So I want to make sure that I'm calling on Abraham, the God of Abraham, amen, that called him out of the Chaldees. I'm going to be interested in that God. I'm interested also in the God of Isaac, amen. Remember that God that don't change his promises, he's immutable? That's the God I'm calling. Amen. That God of Jacob. Boy, that God of Jacob that changed his lives, amen. Change your name, amen. I once was a sinner, but now I'm a Christian. That's the God I want to serve. That's the God I think. And Daniel, I believe that's the God Daniel was calling on. May I say here, Daniel exercised, verse 3 and 4, Daniel exercised his prayer life. He exercised prayer unto God. We find here that he said, I prayed. Notice chapter 4, chapter 9 and verse 3. And he said, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and by supplication and with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, Lord, thou great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercies to them that love him and to them that keep his commandment. We see here that Daniel prayed to his God. The psalmist of old said, I will pray in the morning and in the evening. And even at noonday, their prayer life, they look to God, amen, to do something for them. And I noticed something else about Daniel. We find Daniel prayed to his own detriment. You didn't get that. Daniel prayed to his own harm. Chapter 6 of Daniel, Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, we find Daniel praying to his own detriment. I mean, it was going to cost him something. It cost him something. There's a cost to serve God. There's a sacrifice to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday and Wednesday night. It'll cost you something to be purpose to serve God. And Daniel prayed to his own detriment. Notice chapter 6 and verse number 10. And the Bible says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his window being open in his chambers toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as did aforetime. See, Daniel was accustomed to praying. And I'm saying that it's praying time. Friend, let me ask you this morning, in the presence of God this morning, the Holy Spirit of God, do you have a prayer life? Amen. It's just a question. Do you have prayer life? Does God know that you're going to meet Him there routinely? Can you say, yeah, Lord, I got to preach, I got a prayer life. I meet with Him in the morning